I'm going to go ahead and welcome now. Please help me to offer a warm welcome to Bobby, our first panelist.
My name's Bobby. I'm an addict alcoholic.
I want to thank Bill for inviting me to this format. The approach to the first step. I think it's really important to share a little bit of my experience about how my sponsor sponsored me, because really a lot of what I do with working with others is I use that as a foundation to move forward. Not to say that I stay with it within that same format. It really depends on the individual that I'm working with. But what I do is I take that combined experience that I've had, and through not only through successes but also mistakes that I've made, to kind of present that. I want to kind of like break it down into two different things. First of all, I want to say welcome to all the people who are new. Okay, that was the only thing that I heard the first time I went into a meeting. You know, that phrase where they were talking about welcome. I said, what do they want me here for? Because really, I had not intended on quitting. And so what happened was that I'd been to meetings, and everybody kept talking in this language that I didn't understand. And one of the things that that I knew real well how to do while I was out there was that I learned how to adapt, because that was really important in order to be able to stay in my addiction. And so they kept talking about this thing called a sponsor. And so what I did was I got one for the wrong reason. I just wanted to do it because I wanted you guys to think that I was okay, because I'm following kind of some similar kind of direction. my experience with that is that in the early days when I first came here, sponsors were really hardcore. They knew that what it is that they need to say to me. And so when they determined that, and here's how it went. When I asked him to sponsor me, what he did was he set up a meeting where we met. And I kind of continue to follow that format too. What's different today in terms of like when I sponsor somebody is that I've been given direction on how to check what my motive is in wanting to sponsor somebody. And so I've been given direction by my current sponsor, as well as the previous sponsor before that, to call him and ask him for permission. And so my initial conversation with somebody who is actually asking me to be their sponsor is around, you know what, here's my telephone number. I'll be more than happy to talk to you on a one-on-one basis. But what I need to do is I need to do something that I've been given direction to do first. So I call my sponsor up, and I ask, I tell him the situation. What I try and reassure that person in the first conversation is that even though I may not say that I'm a sponsor to you, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make myself available to you. So I'll always be there. But the reason I give out that telephone number is because I was directed to do that at the very beginning. You know, my sponsor told me to get 10 telephone numbers and make sure that we had it. He already knew the reason why I needed to do that. And what that ties into initially today for me is that it's really the whole foundation in how I need to actually take my first jump into the first step. Because by calling somebody else, what I'm really doing is, and I didn't know this at the time, okay? I didn't know until later on how that all tied in together. What it was about making people available to me that I could call if I thought about using or drinking or whatever. And so it really was the beginning stages of like finding out how I needed to do these things that you guys are talking about. Me, it's called honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And so I took the numbers. Did I call them? No. You know, I never even called him. And what happened was that it took a period of time for me, and I understand this when I'm with the sponsors too, that's the reason why I've given that direction, is because it worked for me. And what happened was I just started making telephone calls to him. Not because I wanted to, because I needed to go and meet and say, hey, I called my sponsor today. Right? So he was just really just a figurehead to me because, bottom line, I wasn't done yet. And he knew that. He knew that. You know? And so what he did, and I really thank him a lot for that, was he allowed me to be able to make mistakes and then come to him after I'd made the mistake. And then, you know, it became, after a while, a process that I continued to use to admit that I had no power over anything. The part about that honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, I didn't want to tell you that I was a gun yet. You know, so, but, you know, the saving grace for me was that they kept saying those things, like, keep coming back, and that was what was important. Getting back to that first meeting, what I do is once they ask me that, I ask them for permission of time to go talk to my sponsor. Because I know what my sponsor's first question is going to be to me. It's going to be, what's your motive? You know? And in the beginning, my motive was completely wrong. You know, matter of fact, nobody came up to me and asked me to be their sponsor initially in the very beginning. My first experience with somebody doing that was I was working the steps and I stopped at the fourth step and I was in a meeting with my sponsor and this guy stood up and said he had like 6 or 7 days or whatever and said he was looking for a sponsor and my sponsor went, go over and talk to that guy and you're now his sponsor. And I understood the reason now today why he did that, because what it was and I have the same experience every time I work with somebody else too, that when they're working a step, I'm working a step too. You know, all I'm doing is sharing my experience. A lot of times, a lot of it's about just listening. You know, and then if I don't have any experience with that, then what I'll do is I'll ask him for patience to hold off on that. I'll go check with my sponsor, see if he has any experience. To kind of like set that first step up. Even if I tell somebody, no, I'm not going to be your sponsor, we have a sponsorship group that we do where all of the sponsors and sponsees get together in a group and we help each other with sponsorship issues. And so one of the things that we've done in that group is we've actually set up a networking process where if one guy's only got like 2 or 3 sponsees or somebody doesn't have a sponsee, we'll try and connect that person who asked me directly back with one of the people within the sponsorship group. And it teaches not only responsibility to me, but it also teaches responsibility to the person who's going to learn how to sponsor somebody else. So we have that kind of a network set up that actually doesn't just leave that person who's asking for help high and dry. When I first came into meetings, one of the first things I did when they were talking about getting a sponsor, I started being really selective. The problem with being selective with a sponsor is that I was doing it with old line thinking, you know? So what I was familiar with is I wanted to pick somebody who had a lot of power, you know? So what I did is I took this person who spoke really well in meetings, right? And I thought, well, okay. You know, I want to be important and all that other stuff, so what I'll do is I'll choose him. And so what he gave me directions to do initially in the very beginning was to pray for a sponsor. And he did the same thing that I'm doing today, and that is that he didn't say yes right away. He just said, you know what, you need to learn how to pray to God to ask for a sponsor. A little bit of a problem with that, because I had a little problem with God when I got here. So moving forward. Once I do get somebody to agree to sponsor somebody, what I do is I set up an initial meeting. And this is what I've learned in my experience in dealing with people and leading them into the steps. I don't start people on the first step right away. Number one is I think we need to like develop this rapport with each other first to find out a little bit about each other. I give them the same directions that my sponsor gave to me. Number one is you need to call me every day, right? And a lot of people put parameters around that, like 30 days or whatever, right? It never happened, so I just tell them, you need to call me every day. So, and then we talk about things, the discussions I have with them when they don't call me is really based around, you know, what he taught me early on. He used to use this phrase called, what is the payoff in you not doing that? And I didn't understand what he was talking about. You know, he was, what's the payoff in me not calling me? And so what he was doing is he was trying to get me to check what my motives and my thinking were all about initially in the beginning. The first direction I give them in the beginning is that they have to have some literature. They have to go to meetings with me at least 2 times a week. And the reason for that being is that it actually starts allowing us to develop this relationship with each other that that I think is really critical. See, when I came in here, I wasn't really honest. I didn't know what honesty meant. I thought honesty was that thing you guys talked about. The cashier gives me, I give her 20, she gives me $22 back in change, right? What I didn't understand was that it was really about getting honest with myself. And the first step actually gets to that. But the reason I don't start them on the first step is because they're probably not even honest really in the beginning anyway. I just try to make it really simple for them. Look, you work in the first step is about you following direction. So everything in that first conversation is based around these little, barriers that they will be putting up in front of themselves to keep us from continuing to do that. My first direction to them is that every time that you think about drinking or using, what I need for you to do is I need for you to call. That's the reason why I gave you direction to get those 10 telephone numbers, because it doesn't necessarily have to be me. My experience with that was that I remember, just to play the game, what it is, I remember I felt like using drugs, and so what I did is I made this call to him, and he didn't answer the phone, right? And so, you know, I developed a resentment right off the bat, right? Well, hold it, you're supposed to be, you know, because we're all real needy in the very beginning. And so, you know, when I finally saw him in a meeting, I said, hey, you know what? You told me to call him, and you weren't there. So, you know, what am I supposed to do there? And he goes, you have how many members on that list? And I was going, 10. He goes, how many did you do? I said, 1. And he goes, why don't you follow direction? Follow all the rest. So the next time I called him, I went through all 10 and nobody answered. It went all to voicemail, right? And so what I did is I went back to him again. I was going, well, I went through all 10. Now what am I supposed to do? He goes, start over again. And so it was about the effort. That's what he was trying to tell me. It's really about the effort. And that was what I didn't know at the time until I started formally working the first step, that what he was doing was he was guiding me toward that first step initially in the beginning. That was how I was going to admit that I was powerless. If I was willing to make the call to say that, you know what, I've got this obsession that started and I don't know how to deal with it, and that was the first surrender that he tried to show me. And, you know, that's the reason why I use a lot of the same things that he taught to me, because as I, you know, progressed in my sobriety, what I found is that what I understood in the very beginning really makes a lot of sense now as I go further down the road. And so, you know, the first step for me, and I try and communicate this to the beginners as well, or anybody that I'm sponsoring as well, is that is really about action and not words. You know, that's the reason why it's important to be in meetings all the time. That's how you really develop an understanding of how powerless you really are. And what it does is it gives me a foundation to be able to say, well, at least I have some place I can go to if I need some help. And, you know, I can't tell you how overwhelming that that kind of direction has gotten me to a place where I found that everybody in here cares about you. They don't want you to get loaded. They don't want you to get drunk. They want to really, truly help you. Not everybody has that intention, but, I mean, that's all part of it, too. You know, how well am I going to deal with that? When you know I'm rejected or whatever, you know, because really it just leads me right back to the same thing. I'll share some experience with a guy that I just sponsored recently. I gave him some direction in terms of He had to call me every day. The other thing, let me back up a little bit. The other thing that I also tell people in the very beginning is you need to start journaling, because that's really what worked for me. It was like, it really gave me an opportunity to be able to see how this thing was non-operative. You know, so, and he would say, write about anything. It doesn't matter what's in your mind, just write about it. And then he gave me direction to call him back after I did that. Well, that's what I did with this guy, too, recently. And he goes 4 or 5 days, and then pretty soon I don't get a call. There's about 5 days, and there's no call. And mind you, we haven't started the first step yet, okay? And so he finally called me up. I could just see this picture in my mind. I could close my eyes and see this picture in my mind about this guy who's got his chin down his chest, right? He's looking down at the ground, and telling me about, hey, I know I was supposed to have, but yeah, things came up, and I didn't. And I just asked him, well, how does that feel? Because I know what he's going through. Because I've had the same experience, too, as well. And during that 4 or 5 days where he was actually journaling and making meetings every day, calling every day, you could see his spirit like start to pick up, right? And then all of a sudden, he does this thing about not doing it. And so, you know, rather than scold him, because that's the way they did it to me initially at the beginning, is that, my first sponsor used to talk to me in terms of, and what he was doing was trying to reinforce exactly how I felt, you know, and so that's what I did. I just kind of go back to say, do you like how that feels? It's kind of like when I first came in and that feeling of desperation and hopelessness, you know, that we feel, he was refilling that all over again. And so what I was trying to relate to him was like how much power he actually had. In other words, yeah, I want to stay sober. I want to stay clean, but yet I'm not willing to follow something that's going to help me out. And I don't know that that was my experience as well, too. What happened was I would do things that would be successful, that would make me feel good. Every meeting I'd ever go to, I'd come out of the meeting and I'd start feeling a little bit of something because I heard something, even though I wasn't willing to stop. I heard something that made a little bit of sense, right? And so the fact that I had to surrender again to the fact that I was going to go back out again was kind of a conflict. It was like, okay, hold it. Here's all the stuff that's making you feel good, and that's what I was relating to him. How did you feel when you were writing those, journaling and calling every day? Man, it was like everything seemed to go okay. I found out a little bit about myself, and I'm sharing it with another human being, and then all of a sudden, boom, I won't do it. Right? So he's directly right into the first step immediately right off the bat. So that's how I then start introducing him to the first step. Trying to relate his experience to the fact that how much power did you have over that? How much power did you really have over making a call? When you knew that it was doing good for you and then all of a sudden you decide you're going to sabotage it. And that's what I did in a lot of my recoveries around that sabotage. So what I'm saying is that what it really boils down to is that every day I have to address the first step in terms of powerlessness and unmanageability. So he's talking to me about his unmanageability and I'm telling him, well, look, how much power did you have over that? And it kind of leads into like what the next step's going to be about anyway. I want to touch on one other thing. I've been around, my clean sobriety date is August 6th of 1988. I had nothing to do with it. It's some of the faces I see in here were already here when I got here. And so I thank them for that. Because they were the examples that actually got me to start to open my mind up a little bit, to start to become honest with myself. And so I know that that's a process. And so the process takes time. Because of that kind of experience, I didn't say that because I wanted you guys to pat me on the back. I said that because what's happened now is the people who are asking me to sponsor them are people with a little bit of time. And so that takes on a whole different process. So, you know, when we talk about how do you lead people into the first step, it also applies to people who've been here for a while as well. Most people think, and like I did in the very beginning, that, you know, this process of like going through the 12 steps is really just a one-time thing. Not for me, it's not. It's really about it's doing them over and over and over again every day until the day that I die. And so you know, that concept about I got to start here and I'm going to end here, and then all of a sudden it's all over with is bunk. You know, I'm in the first step almost every day, and it has to do with like the kinds of actions I take. The other thing that I do initially in the second, probably the third meeting is I'll make them purchase the literature. In the beginning, I went through this whole phase where I was buying literature for them, and my sponsor didn't let me do that. You know, he gave me one of his and said, "Well, you can afford it, you go buy your own." Right? He even gave me direction one time that if you don't have the money, go steal it and you can make it up in the amends. So. So, you know, that brings up another thing. You know, a lot of times that's where we'll talk about that too. Initially in the beginning when I'm working with somebody with a little bit of time. And that is that, we go back and we start looking at how do you perceive the first step for you today? And usually what it is, it's based around one specific area that they're having problems with. So rather than say alcohol, drugs, whatever, what we'll do is we'll take that problem and we'll put that in place of that and say, okay, how are we going to apply the steps to that? And so for those of you that are new, when you get some time, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But right now, really the primary thing is about just don't pick it up and don't use. Don't drink and don't use. That's the first step. You know, that's part of the willingness. The second part of the willingness is, am I willing to follow direction? And I don't know about you guys, but or your experience, but I wasn't willing to follow direction. Believe me, surrender to somebody telling me what to do. You know, and so I still periodically do that. You know, one of the things that my sponsor has me do, and one of the reasons why he does it, he wants to know what my motive is, because what happens, a lot of my character defects come out when people ask me to sponsor them. You know, number one is my first thought, my very first thought, which I find is always the wrong thought, is I'm going to save the world. You know? Hell yes, I'm going to say yes to you, right? But, a big part of that is the character defect I have around the shortcoming of trying to be people pleasing all the time. I've got 11 sponsors. You wonder why my sponsor's asking me why it is that I should ask him whether or not I have. Matter of fact, the current direction I have now is no. You are not allowed to be able to sponsor anybody else because you don't have time to be able to balance out your life and all that other stuff. I'm fortunate enough to have been retired from a job, so the time's important. Plus, I also find out too that it's not the numbers that really matters; it's the availability. I just need to be available. Because what happens is with that is that I get blessed because what happens is those people are available to me. They may be coming to me with whatever their problem is, but believe it or not, when that conversation's over with, they've really helped me. Because really, what I got to do is I got to do an inventory and check and see where I'm at in terms of where they're at. Because I may very well have done the same kinds of things that they're talking about. So the initial part is about developing a relationship with each other. And, you know, I know a lot of people have different ideas about sponsors being guides, number one. I have to remember that sometimes I have to do that too. But I really think that the only way that I got on this was that there had to be this relationship where we developed a certain amount of trust in each other. That basically that person would be there for me when I needed them. Because I don't know about you, but I had a lot of trust issues when I came here. Trusting another individual. But see, it all led right back to that first step, because really the fact is that I chose early on to be able to take over what I thought was being in control of my life. So now to surrender to that and have to share it with another human being is a process, and I found out that that is a process. That's the reason why it's important for me to be in meetings with you. That's the reason why it's important you call me every day, so we start beginning to develop and letting these walls down about what trust is. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. I used to take it personally when people would fire me in response. You know, it's like that's okay. That's another one of the boundaries I set up in the beginning, initial conversation with them. That at some point in time, if you find that this is not working out, it's okay for you to go seek somebody else. You know, I'm not the answer all to everything. So. So we're constantly going back to the first step. I find out in the very beginning that initial conversation and initial part about establishing boundaries has to be revisited a lot. you know. They don't call. They don't go to meetings. You know, they're withholding reservations and stuff like that. So, you know, in the old days when I first came here, it was the blunt truth. People just told you what the truth was, right? My sponsor used to tell me at the very beginning, like, go into meetings and shut up. Don't say anything. You don't have anything to share. And, you know, that's changed a little bit today. But it kind of fed right into what I understand today was that I needed to start learning how to develop listening skills. And that's the reason why when I'm working with someone on the first step, we're revisiting boundaries all the time, you know. Did you ever think about calling me before you picked up that drink? And so, you know, you committed to doing this initially in the beginning. Has that changed? Why has that changed? So that's really the whole foundation. The first step with me working with sponsors is trying to stay within those boundaries, you know, and trying to teach them some responsibility initially in the very beginning. Because that's the beginning of trying to help yourself anyway. So there is no specific period of time that goes by before we formally start working the first step. Hopefully we're laying a foundation in the very beginning around that first step. And it's not about the comparison of your own manageability. It's really about how much power do you really have. Go ahead and let them make mistakes and make decisions on their own and demonstrate that they still have the power. And then watch them fall a little bit and then be there to reach down and pick them back up again and say, you know, are you done with that kind of behavior yet? If so, then, you know, maybe you need to start listening and following directions. And so that's pretty much how I lead them into it. When we formally start working the first step, I do the same thing that my sponsor taught me how to do. And that was, he gave me an assignment. The assignment was that I want you to write down every time, and that also ties right back into the journaling. See, the journaling started so that I could get ready to start applying that toward writing down the next assignment he was giving me. And that assignment was, write down how many times you started off to do something, and it turned out to be something different. You know, I don't know, 38 pages later, right? It became rather obvious to me that I had a problem. And I didn't have any power over anything. I'd go out to buy a six-pack and have it with the guys, and the next thing I know, I'm in Denver, Colorado, and I don't even know how I got there. Right? I'm sure some, you know, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that did happen. But, I mean, and I've got this list of all these different things, and it started to, and here's what it did for me. What it did is it made me afraid, because really the bottom line was going, okay, if that's true, that I don't have any power over that, then everything that I think I've got any kind of power over is not valid anymore. And so I had to get to a point where I had to get honest enough to be able to say to him, hey, you know what, this is making me afraid. Because now what do I do? And it takes that kind of surrender, I think, to be able to finally figure out that I really don't want to anymore. And what I was getting from that initial contact with him, and I was starting to get another kind of a payoff, and that was that just a little bit I've released a little bit of that non-trust that I had, right? And then I would get this feedback from him where it started making me feel like he had an answer for me just based on his experience. You know, he wouldn't tell me what to do unless he had some experience with that. And that, I try to stay within that format too, because it really, my ego sometimes tells me that I've got all the answers for everything. But I found out that thanks to you guys showing me how to just come back and do it like a mini inventory about what your real motive, then it gets me to a point where I can start looking at what I'm honestly feeling and thinking. And I would hope that that's the initial process within that first step. So, you know, basically that's the experience I have. You know, I probably have about 50% that have a little bit more time, and I think I'm working with four that still are beginners. I'm also working with a couple of teenagers, 13 and 14 years. That's a difference. I mean, I don't think there's any recipe for dealing with how you lead somebody into the first step, because I think there's a lot of factors that need to be taken in. You know, with the youngsters, I do something a little bit different. I have them journal initially in the beginning about two things. One, is write down five people who influenced you the most in a positive way and explain that situation to them. And then I'll have them do five negative. And what it does, I think it starts to give me some kind of an idea of like what their backgrounds were like. And then what I do is I then tie in my experience to that, and that kind of like opens up the door a little bit for that. My job, I think, as a sponsor is to continue to pass the message. That's all. And stay out of the result. I have that direction for my sponsor, too. You know, just show up, do what you're supposed to do, check your motive around what it is that you're doing, and stay out of the result. So whether or not people stay clean and sober or not is really not my responsibility. My responsibility as a sponsor is just to be there for them when they're available, when they ask for help. Try and guide them with the experience that I've had within the steps, and a lot of it has to do with like what it is that my sponsors have guided me through too as well. And so, I want to thank you all for being open-minded enough to be able to drop whatever your belief systems about whichever 12-step program that you're working, and to come down here and listen to some experience. Hopefully, I've touched on something that you either have done or are getting ready to do. I'm looking forward to the rest of the speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Hey, the folks at 210 are making some more coffee, and that'll be out before too long. We'll want to thank you, those of you who were able to make some contributions to help us cover the costs. Next up, we were going to ask questions. Does anybody have any questions for Bobby?
So what is the question?
I don't know.
Why are you doing it? Guess what? Just replaced the drug, didn't you? In other words, you just took alcohol and drugs and you just replaced it with something else. But, that doesn't make it bad. Any experience that you go through, I found it doesn't make it bad. Matter of fact, there's a reason probably why you're going through that experience. If you're asking the question, that's part of it, right? That is, what is my motive? Only you can answer that. I might be able to guide you. In the beginning, maybe you're just trying to feel good because initially that was my motive. Yeah, right? Let's see how many people notice. Right? Gosh, that feels even better when somebody goes, hey, I saw what you did, right? Right? Yeah. But, initially in the beginning, what I had to remember was that everything was self-centered. So it was really all about me. It really had nothing to do with helping them. It's about, I like that feeling, so I was only thinking about myself. At some point in time, you'll probably make a decision to do something for somebody else, and that's the next direction your sponsor is probably going to give you anyway. That's what mine did. He goes, now do it so that nobody knows. Well, how do you do that? that's the difficult part, right? The way he's doing it, he's trying to tell me to get out of the self-centered part of it. It's a process. Don't be so hard on yourself. If it feels good, keep doing it. Right? As long as you don't pick up news, right? How can I get it? Yes, sir. I think that's a question that I have to ask my sponsor. In other words, I direction came from him. So, I don't have any experience about, well, I had 9 months and I think it's time for me to be a sponsor. It was really about, he was the one who decided for me. I'll give you the same direction he gave me. Pray. Pray that God puts somebody in your life that will actually be there to help you. You can do that too. There's a lot of value that people put on having a sponsor for a long period of time. If I'm talking to you one-on-one, guess what? We're sponsoring each other. So, is it like, are you going to be successful if you get somebody and it doesn't work out? I mean, take the risk. Even if you do it for the wrong reason. I did it for the wrong reason. Right? But there was a process that had to happen in order for me. The key is just do it. That's how that's how I say that I'm powerless. It's the action I take, not what I say. Hey, I'm looking for sponsors. I'm looking for sponsors. Why would I be asking somebody else that? Just go up and ask somebody. Then be prepared for some rejection. Because someone will say no. Just take the action. That's what I ask. Have you had that conversation with her? Sounds like that's what you should be saying to her. Right? Well, maybe the role needs to be reversed. You know, there comes a point in time where, when I first came in, I used to think of the sponsor being here and the sponsee was here, right? We're really on equal footing, right? I remember the day that my sponsor gave me direction, said, when are you going to call me and ask about me? And I thought, well, maybe this is a two-way street. But there are times. I'm currently going through that now. As many people as I sponsor, I'm a caretaker for my stepmother, right? So that takes up a lot of my time. A lot of those people are patient. But what they've done is I give them direction to start reaching out to their support group. Their support group is those people that I know that I talk to on a regular basis and go through them. So we have this huge network of like sponsees. So I just give them direction to call one of my other sponsees, right, if I don't have the time. But it's important, I think, for us to be able to say to them, hey, I'm concerned about you. What can I do for you? And rather than being in a position where I'm going to fire you because, you're physically not available for me. Yeah, but I mean, most of it should be coming through, get direction from her, find out how she feels about it. And then they make calls to her anyway because she's in that kind of a position. All right, you're welcome. Anybody else? Yeah, hey, Craig. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I move away from it for a while, and that's what a lot of us with time do sometimes. With the tool that we use, we move away from, but you bet, because you know what? There's a huge payoff for me when I dream. There really is. It's like, it almost precludes me even calling my sponsor, because what happens is I've kind of like come up with the solution right off the bat. Right? So, yeah, absolutely. It's a valuable tool. Okay. Thank you.
And we will have a question and answer period at the end, so you'll get the benefit of asking your questions to all four panelists. So don't feel like you've lost the opportunity to ask questions. Next, I'd like to introduce you to a friend. Her name is Mary, and she's going to come and talk to you about what she does when people ask her to sponsor her through the time that she believes they're done with the first step. So please welcome Mary.
Hi, my name's Mary, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I have to say, I'm scared. I don't feel comfortable public speaking, but I feel today, which is pretty good for me. I like to share my experience, strength, and hope in regards to Al-Anon. And for those of you that don't know what Al-Anon is, well, let's start with Bill W. And Bill W.'s works in helping create AA. Well, in the meantime, while he had his group going on and things were starting to turn around, his wife was in the kitchen being supportive and saw all the wives of these people outside in their cars. And she started to reflect, and I'm paraphrasing, but she started to reflect, like, wow, I'm sitting in the kitchen and they're sitting outside, why don't I invite them in? And before you know it, they started having their own meeting. Al-Anon, we tend to be affected by the disease of alcoholism also. And as we don't have the substance of alcohol that we're obsessed with the symptoms of alcoholism and how do we live life, whether the alcoholic is drinking or not. and we try to learn these principles, which are the same 12 steps as AA ourselves. And Al-Anon is designed to be autonomous but cooperative with AA. So we're family. And this is a family disease. I also work with Al-A-Teens and Al-A-Kids. And we have a nice group of Al-A-Kids, preteens. And that's been a great service position for me. Because I also am an adult child of an alcoholic. So I didn't realize the effect of alcoholism until I walked into Al-Anon and saw the dynamics and how far back it goes. And it goes back even further than my father. It goes back to grandparents and so on. So how do I break the cycle? For me, it's been with the 12 steps of AA ourselves and the fellowship of Al-Anon and the support of AA in encouraging this thing called recovery. And all of a sudden, I'm not so nervous. I let it out there. We admitted we were powerless of our alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. I had to discover in this program, and I know you mentioned this is an honest program, and it was hard for me to get honest with me. You know, I could blame everything, everybody, everyone for my insanity. But how do I get my insanity, my sanity back? I don't have the substance to numb it out, so I remember everything. And my mom remembers everything. She's a historian. I thought that, you know, that could be an asset. But when when I remember everything and I don't have anything to numb that everything, what do I have? And today I have the fellowship of Al-Anon and the gratefulness of working the steps with other members so that I could always remember where I came from. I don't want to get too complacent in this program. And in working the steps, I get to hear what AA has the drunk-a-lot, we have the Al-Anon. And I get to hear the unmanageability that has occurred from alcoholism and the powerlessness. Sometimes it doesn't come off that way right away. But because we have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff I have found, and I still do, for that matter, to talk about, to let it out, to find that I'm not in control. And that I am powerless over this thing that we call a disease. I know my sponsor, I had a hard time with this concept of disease, and I think that's part of this first step thing, is this disease, and I'm like, yeah, right, disease, 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 it's not a disease, it can't be a disease, it's a choice, and, you know, they choose, it's a way of life, or blah, blah, blah. And then my sponsor is gracious enough to break it down for me, because I'm a thinker, you know, I need to think things out, and he put it real simple in respect to dis-ease. And perhaps I am at dis-ease. Life is unmanageable. Okay. And that helped me progress into understanding that I was in the right place for me. And see, when I understand that I'm powerless over people, places, and things, And there's a opportunity that I will allow other people into my life to help me. So I'm a person that doesn't like help. Can you like relate? to reach out for help. For some reason, and my thinking says I've been defeated. Oh my goodness, then I'm weak. And in that thinking, you know, it's thinking. My goodness. And that thinking can carry me into insanity in the regular world. You know, I took an art class for many years. But my initial entrance into the art class was like, oh, I know how to do this. Yeah, you know, I know how to do what he's teaching. And then when I got criticized, we had to stand up and be critiqued. And when the instructor is critiquing me in front of everybody, I'm like, my first reaction is to get mad. For the grace of God in this program, I caught my thinking, and I had to change my thinking. And realized it was through those critiques that I was going to learn something different. And that was okay. My initial reaction is to run. And not hear the message. But my program has taught me don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. So I stay in place. I take inventory, my motive, what's going on, am I powerless over this situation, and is it unmanageable? Yeah. What's up with that? What's up with that? Is it about you or is it about them? And, you know, I've come here because I've done all these steps. I'm not perfect, but it gives me tools. So, you know, in respect to being open-minded for direction, it made me better. And it gave me honor, self-esteem. And it gave me a place to be part of. Instead of running and isolating myself and blaming everybody, I had to take responsibility for me and what was going on. And that was cool. I learned that through these laws of the 12-step program, to be able to use those little principles, just that first step, in the outside world. And that's cool. And those kind of things, those life experiences, is what I get to share with my sponsees. It's not necessarily all the doom and gloom and bad and blah, blah, blah. But the hope that comes from this program that is priceless to me. In sponsoring somebody, see, I wrote notes for days and I'm not even really paying attention because I asked God, my higher power, when I came in here, help me out. Because I can't do this alone. And so here I am. I got my little support group over there. It's good to have a support group. thank you. when I look at powerlessness, the first step, oh my gosh, for me it was so hard, so hard. Because I had to look at my ego. For me, powerlessness taps into my ego, straight up. And then I learned this acronym, you know, edging God out. What? What? That means I'm trying to do this all by myself. Powerlessness. So I have to admit that I'm powerlessness. I need some help. Help. And that my life is unmanageable. Help. But sometimes I have, and I still could do this today. I want to take it back. I'm not that powerless. life isn't that unmanageable. But if I don't stay with this program and apply these principles and look at that step and do my daily meditations and reach out to another human being, stay connected, work with sponsees, I get these arrogant muscles that says I can overcome everything by myself. And that's a lie for me. So I'm working with sponsees, and when somebody comes up to me and asks me to sponsor them, I do have to take an inventory. What's this all about? Is it stroking my ego? Because I got an ego problem. Or am I doing my 12th step? My 12th step, which says that I need to pass this message. Sometimes I have to say, you know, I can't do it right now. But I know somebody who might, because I don't want to be a sponsor hog. More sometimes is not better. And so in respect to sharing that request with somebody else, gives them an opportunity to share their message and grow. And that's okay. In sponsorship, I truly use the tool of the serenity prayer for myself. But I do know some that do not like the word God. And that's okay. I freak out straight up. Like, whoop! And, you know, I'm going to, like, have a meltdown and stuff. Because that's not my understanding. But it's theirs. And I have to accept that for now. Because as we progress in this step, it's a God of your understanding, not a God of my understanding. But I'm not going to dwell too much into that step, but back to the serenity prayer, I have found it, because I like to use the serenity prayer for myself before a dialogue or before a situation to keep my house in order, to keep me in check. And I like to share that prayer with the sponsee before we have dialogue, before we work the step. And sometimes I suggest that we use the word ego instead of God. Because I know, although I believed in a higher power than myself, in the beginning I thought I was God. So I was praying to myself. So, what else is that? That's what got me here. So if I replace the word ego in it, and then it puts it in its true perspective for me, ego, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Oh, and then the word changed for me. My ego can affect my thinking and keep me from the sunlight of this program, this 12-step program. When I work with sponsees, I have to be honest. If I'm home and the phone rings, by golly, I pick it up. It's not about screening calls, because if it's that important for somebody to call, I will pick it up. to meet with someone. I tend to suggest that we meet in a safe place at first. A safe place, whether it be a restaurant or a coffee house or whatever. Because, you know, I want to help, but this disease is cunning, powerful, and baffling. You know, I don't know the full situation. I know that this disease can make us do some crazy stuff. And I have seen some crazy stuff, like spouses hunting other spouses. And I'm in the middle of that? I want to be in a public place. True, it happens. More than once. We're not a threat. But I don't, and some people think we are. We are trying, and Al-Anon, trying to find serenity and find a way of recovery, just like AA. If we can meet together, man, we got a powerful thing going on. But by golly, a safe place is cool for me. That's the wisdom to know the difference. And then there's times where we meet at my house. And that's okay, too. Because there would be a time where I would never invite anybody to my house. I had my own stuff going on. I didn't want you to see it. And I was too embarrassed and too ashamed of what was going on in my own house, let alone to invite other people in. Today I could do that. I live alone, but I could do that, but I could share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, I'm also an adult child and alcoholic, and I saw a lot of that growing up. You know, this program helped me see that, that what I saw growing up, the embarrassment, the shame, you know, not inviting people over because it was just too embarrassing. Oh, my gosh, you know, I got to see that in my recovery process. So being powerless over alcohol in my life has become unmanageable. When I talk to a sponsee, and I enjoy you bringing up the importance of listening. So important. So important to listen without interjection for the first while for me. There's a, again, we remember everything. So there's a lot to be said. A lot of purging, a lot of discussion, not discussion, but a lot of stuff. Just stuff. And so I listen. Once in a while, I just look, you know, and I want some clarity or because it can be confusing. And in that listening, we do develop that trust. I don't know how many of you are out there and all of a sudden you have trust issues. Yeah. And so do we. We have our fears, our insecurities, our damaged relationships, our guilt, our shame, our unwillingness, our control, our own issues. You know, it's very similar. And so in listening, God usually does for us what we can't do for ourselves, and then the next indicated thing comes. How about doing the first step? Are you powerless over alcohol, and do you find your life unmanageable? That's all I have to say. And if the answer is yeah, you can do a step on that. Yeah, just steps. And I've got it easy, and y'all do too. Because I don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's literature up here. We got a cool questionnaire book too, man. And that's cool. I don't have to reinvent the wheel, make up my own questions. And see, when I first got asked to be a sponsor, when my sponsor was like, you need to be a sponsor, and I'm like, I don't want to be a sponsor. And because I was powerless, I thought. And all I had to do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and the tools that were given to me. Oh. But my time. You can manage your time. Because I just thought, you know, I was going to get all sucked up in sponsoring. And so I've been able to manage my time and have dialogue and kind of make appointments. Not a control issue, it's just... maybe it is, I don't know. I'll think about that today. I got confused with my laughter. In working these steps, and I don't have to reinvent the wheel. So with my experience with sponsees, because we have stories and then questions and then a close for that step. And I suggest what was taught to me by my sponsor, which was to answer the questions first, then read the story.
Okay.
And I'm going to follow directions, so I did that. Then read the stories, then re-answer those questions.
Ooh.
And it gave me a wonderful opportunity to look at my thinking. Because in answering those questions first, it was like, answer these questions, read the stories, and then I saw a different perspective. Let me go back to those questions. And it changed. My perspective began to change. And at that point, when my perspective is starting to change, and I see that I am needing help because my thinking and my behavior and my actions are a little screwed up, I might need some help. And so, and my sponsees, these people I sponsor, I would say my sponsees, a kind of control issue again, the people that like to hang out with me and learn about recovery, I think they discover that same thing about the perspective by doing that little exercise, if you will. And then we can move on to the next step. You know, a question was asked me about male and female sponsors. And how I feel about that is the traditional way that I've been taught men should be with men, women should be with women. Although, I have had a male sponsor before with clear communication with the spouse. I am not here to compromise your relationship. I'm here to grow in a spiritual with spiritual principles and have recovery through the gift of this 12-step program. And with clear communication, it became not a problem for me. And I have sponsored men with that clear communication with the spouse. The minute I feel that there is a jealousy or any kind of disruption, it's not my place to interfere with that. And that's how I feel about it. In sponsoring, I have suggestions, which is to make the phone call, to journal. But I also have a suggestion to do something nice for someone. We have obsessions, start thinking, we're obsessed about what y'all are doing. We've got a lot of fear, and, we can sabotage stuff ourselves, and we can go to jail even. For the grace of God, I was one step from going to jail for my anger being out of control. But something that I suggest to do is to do something nice for somebody without telling them that you did it. And what a trip that is. And don't tell anybody else that you did it either. What a trip that is. Sit with yourself for a minute, and at least that's what I did. I sit with myself, and I was like, I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody I did something great for somebody. And not. Wow. Wow. I can go places with that little thing all by itself. it just kind of indicated to me how much, selfish and self-centered I can be. That I have this compulsive need to scream that look at me. And I don't need to do that. It's my actions that are important. I can look at me today about my actions with the good deeds that I try to do. And maybe 6 months from now I'll share that with somebody. But not right away. I have to learn these disciplines when I'm in this 12-step program. I have to learn these universal principles that are suggested in the big book of AA, which I love. And the principles that are in the Al-Anon literature that I love. And it changed my life. And if it's changed my life by me simply, it wasn't simple, that's a lie, by me becoming willing and admitting that I'm powerless over alcohol and that my life has become unmanageable, to open my mind for something different to come in, has allowed my life and my thinking to change to bigger and better things and disciplines that I had not considered for myself. These are the type of things that I share with my sponsee. It's the message of hope. We have to have hope, because otherwise, why bother? Might as well stay insane. But there is a message of hope in this, and it starts with that first step, to admit that we are powerless over alcohol can become, and that our lives have become unmanageable, and have the desire to change. Grab a sponsor. You know, I've been taught, you share your stuff with your sponsor. I mean, you don't have meetings, don't have the time of the day to hear all y'all's stuff. You know, but your sponsor can hear the nitty-gritty, the good stuff that promotes change. And sponsorship can give you some tools that we have learned to help promote change. And in that change, then we can start bringing, this is what my sponsor told me, the solutions to the table, to the meetings. You know, just like my little art story. You know, it's kind of a cool story to bring to the table, ain't it? Instead of all the doom and gloom and No, I bring that kind of stuff. I try to. It leaks out in meetings, but there's no wrongs. But I find it benefits that if I bring out my dirty laundry to my sponsor, they can tell me what kind of detergent to wash with. You know? Or which dry cleaner to go to. You know? And it works. And it works. So, with that, I will close. I thank you. I thank you for inviting me. And thank you.
So we're going to have questions afterwards, but we have an opportunity. If you want to ask questions specifically as it pertains to Mary, now is a good time to do that. So let's go ahead.
Good question. And according to the design of Alateen and Al-Anon, or Alateen and Alakid, sometimes we even had Alatot, the program's designed for them to sponsor each other. There are two sponsors in the group, which one of them is me, and someone else. So if anybody gets stumped, we can kind of intervene. But, you know, it's them helping themselves, you know, that type of thing. And you're not alone. That's part of the deal. That's part of the qualifications, if you will. Shame on me. I don't have a schedule on me. Ooh. Shame on me again. I do. It's in the car. Why, how about that? That's a God thing. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a special title called Double Winners. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. I know. I suggest you get a sponsor. Do you have a sponsor? Okay. A simple tool that I use is, what's my will and what's God's will? Ooh. If I'm edging God out, boy, I better bring him back in. You know, that's going off into the other step. Good question. I was trying to stay focused here because I could go all over the place. Yes. Unfortunately, no, but that's why I'm glad I'm here today. To pass the message that these things do exist, and for the grace of God, perhaps we'll have more in the future. But in the meantime, we do have one meeting here in Visalia. And there's none in Tulare. And, I would like to see more of that available. I have great dreams, great desires, great interest, but there's only one of me, a handful of us who want to be involved, with Allergene and a lot of teens. You know? So if I could pass the message that there is a need and how can we help them, maybe people will step up and help. Because it's a we thing, don't you think? Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you. Exactly. Thursday at 7 o'clock at Methodist Church in Visalia, off of Caldwell. There's an AA meeting going on at the same time, too, which is really cool. There's an AA meeting going on. There's the Alec Kids meeting going on. There's Al-Anon going on. Hello. Hello. I'm telling you. Yes. The second step. I was just going to say, next month, second step, be here. They will spend hours meditating on it to give you the answer. I hear you. I really don't want to go there because... Oh, I am? Okay. I don't know if I... Well, you know, I'm a sponsor of Al-Anon, and not. You have a sponsor? Yeah. Have you asked your sponsor? What? Can we talk about it afterwards? Because, I just hear. If you have a sponsor, I'm starting to hear a conversation for you and I, if that makes sense. I'd be happy to talk with you one-on-one.
Thank you, Mary. We've come to our break time. We're going to have a quick 10-minute break. Now, I want to make sure that to remind you, we have an Ask It basket right in the back. If there's any questions that you might want to ask, maybe you'd rather not have the attention at you, please feel free to fill out.